James chapter 2. Does your walk match your talk? Does your walk match your talk? Verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Amen. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? The scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Let the church say amen. Our Father, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these thy people. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. In no way do I want to hinder the work of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray, God, Lord, that you will bind Satan. Put a hedge of protection about this place. I pray you'd keep him from getting in the way of what you want to do tonight. Now, Lord, bless the preaching of the word of God. Bless this service tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The question is, does your walk match your talk? The theme of James's spiritual maturity, we've summarized that theme by a challenge to every believer to grow up. Part of growing up is doing more walking and less talking. Part of growing up is making sure you're talking and you're walking are saying the same thing. You've heard me make the statement, your talk talks and your walk talks. But your walk talks a lot louder than your talk talks. Your actions speak louder than your words. And James was talking about this way back when, and we're talking about it right now, because it was no strange thing then, nor is it a foreign thing now for Christian people to do more talking than they do walking, to do more preaching than they do practicing, to do more declaring than they do demonstrating, to do more bragging than they do behaving, to do more saying than they do showing. Are you listening to me tonight? What the world needs to see is not just somebody who says he's a Christian, but they need to see somebody who shows he's a Christian, because your talk and your walk should match. If you agree with that, say amen. So James gives us a popular error that's made often by people saying he hath works. And of course, this popular error is made up of a pretentious claim where somebody says that supposedly a Christian makes this sounded cliche. Sure, I have faith. After all, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I have faith. I asked Christ to come into my heart. I have faith. I prayed the sinner's prayer. I have faith. I was in church. I went in the back. I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I repented of my sins. I have faith. It's become cliche. But James says, you say you have it, but your pretentious claim carries with it a problematic contradiction, because the faith you say you have has no works. Are you hearing me? That's a contradiction. Circumstantial adversity, a common assertion, a circumvented action. You're contradicting yourself. And because you say you have faith and yet you have no works, you have a profitless conclusion. Your faith cannot save you. Now, wait a minute now. We look as skeptics into the Bible and we see a doctrinal issue here. Faith can't save me? Really? What do you do a verse in the Bible that says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not out of yourselves? I mean, what do you do when the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? What do you do when the Bible says, faith toward God and repentance of sin will save you? How many believe in order to accept Christ as your Savior, all you have to do is put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing he was died, was buried, rose again, repent of your sins, and that faith alone, how many believe, will save your soul? Say amen. But wait a minute, James says, can faith save him? James, I thought you said faith. I thought the Bible said faith can save anybody. Yes, it can. Amen. But that kind of faith that has no works never saved anybody. So you're saying works saves a person? No. I'm just saying real faith always comes with works. So James says, I'm not contradicting scripture. A workless Christian who claims he has faith is contradicting scripture. Amen. You say, what's wrong with religion? I'll tell you what's wrong with religion. They put works for salvation instead of faith alone. That's called legalism. Anybody that tells you that doing anything will get you into heaven doesn't understand what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. But anybody that will tell you that getting into heaven based on faith won't get you doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't understand what happens when Christ comes to live inside of you. So James is making clarification. Why? So that the writer doesn't end up with people like the Galatians, who thought that because they were supposedly saved, they had a license to sin. And one of the skepticisms of lost people today is this. Well, I don't understand why, how you could get saved and then live any way you want to live and still be saved. Well, you can't. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, you can't truly have Jesus inside of you and live any way you want to live. Well, I know a lot of Christians that live, that say they have Jesus inside them and live any way they want to live. No, you know a lot of people that say they're Christians that say they have Jesus inside them and live any way. If any man, somebody help me preach, be in Christ, he's a new creature. Any man be in Christ. There's a lot of things in scripture that take some deep study, some comparative scripture, some concordances, some questions of your pastor, but 2 Corinthians 5:17 is not one of those verses. It says wide open, black and white, clear as day, as any man, any verse in the Bible. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Little girl came home from Sunday school. Said, Mama, I don't understand. The preacher said, God's a big God. Well, you agree with that? Say amen. Amen. I need more than that. You agree God's a big God? Amen. If you don't, how did he make the world in 6 days? How did he put the sun hanging up on nothing that falls down? How do you take dirt that we walk on and form man? And then breathe into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. For all you mamas, if God's not a big God, how did he bring that baby into this world? Come on now. For you, young man, if God's not a big God, how did he find you a woman that would say yes when you asked her to marry you? Well, if you were an atheist when you came to church tonight, you should be a Bible believer now. She said yes. That's a big God. But the girl couldn't rationalize. Mama, the preacher said God's a big God. He is, Susie. But he came to live in my little heart. He did, Susie. Well, if God's that big and he came to live in my little heart, don't you think he ought to stick out somewhere? Could I ask you a question? If that big God came to live in little old you, don't you think he ought to stick out somewhere? Amen. I don't understand these closet Christians. These secret undercover Christians, these 007 James Bond, don't let Secret Service alias, don't let nobody know who I am. Hey, let me tell you something. When little old me gets to be the temple of big old God, you rest assured, without even trying, he's going to stick out somewhere. And James said, if he isn't, you need to grow up or get saved. So notice the principal expression here that we need to look at. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead alone. Is that true? That's a credible statement. Faith, if it hath not works, is dead alone. I mean, you tell somebody to be warm and filled, but you don't give them any blanket of bread. You keep toting your Christianity. But when given an opportunity to live it, you pass on it. The credible statement is faith being alone without works is dead. So verse number 18, notice, I want you to notice the counterfeit substance. So when James makes a statement, can faith save him? And rhetorically we answer, no, it can't. But yet Paul makes the statement, we're saved by grace through faith. So Paul says, yeah, faith will save us. James says, faith can't save him. So James and Paul must be talking about two different faiths. Well, let me tell you what kind of faith James is referring to in chapter number 2. Number 1, dead faith. Everybody say dead faith. Dead faith. Say dead faith. Dead faith is one that involves intellectual assent. What do you mean? Yeah. The reins of my brains have come to accept analytically that Jesus died on the cross. He was buried and he rose again. Yeah, absolutely. I can wrap my head around the fact that two thieves on both sides and the one man in the middle was sinless. Yeah, absolutely. And intellectually that in order to go to heaven, I got to believe in that man, put my faith and trust in that man. Yeah, that all sounds good. But intellectual assent coupled with an internal absence amounts to death. Listen, if all you know about Jesus is enough in your mind to factor that he must have died, he must have been buried, he must have rose from the dead, but there's nothing that comes inside your spirit that goes beyond an intellectual assent to an internal allegiance, I've got to have more of it up here that makes me say amen when I come to church. I got to have more than that. There's got to be something inside of me, in my heart, where God works that says he's not just a good man that died and rose again. He's my only way to heaven. He's my only way to be cleansed. He's more than just somebody I agree with intellectually. He's somebody I accept internally. Unless I have that, I got dead faith. Second kind of faith talks about is devilish faith. Dead faith is that which involves an intellectual assent with an internal absence. Devilish faith is that which scares one. James said, oh yeah, I'll tell you about counterfeit substance. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Watch this now. I adjure thee that thou torment us not. Mark chapter 5. You know what it's referring to? The Gadarian demoniac. And the Bible says his name was Legion. So chances are there could have been upwards of 6,000 demons in this one man. Okay? Because Jesus sent them into a couple thousand swine. All right? So who knows how many? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,000 demons. The Bible, multitudes. This man was lost. Possessed by demons. And yet the great I Am walked up on those demons. And before he could even talk to them good, they were begging the Son of God not to torment them. Let me tell you something. As my grandma would say, not near one of them demons is going to heaven. But they were scared of God. I run into people all the time. So you going to heaven? Oh yeah, I believe in God. So do the devil. As a matter of fact, the demons tend to be more afraid of God than humans. Because they've seen what he did to their boss. I wish somebody helped me preach. We first got our name demons when we followed him after he got kicked out. Left our first estate. Study your Bible. Amen. Demons have to flee. They watch the Son of God, the God man. Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. So did them demons inside of that demoniac. It's amazing. The religious cults stagger at the deity of Christ. And the demons announced it loud and clear. But it ain't enough to get them into heaven. Because dead faith and devilish faith is no replacement for dynamic faith. Somebody say amen. Amen. Say dynamic faith. Amen. Dead faith has no life. Devilish faith has no repentance. But dynamic faith is alive. Active, appropriated, and effective. What do you mean dynamic faith? Faith that moves. Faith that's going somewhere. Faith that's active. See, ladies and gentlemen, we don't live in a world that doesn't have any faith. We just live in a world full of the wrong kind of faith. And by the way, the value, credibility, significance, and worth of your faith is determined by the object of your faith. Amen. Come on, this is Bible preaching. You say, how does my faith amount to being worth something? I'll tell you once you tell me who you put it in. Amen. You say, I pledge my allegiance. No, I can't answer the question till you finish the sentence. If it's anybody but Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, Allah, Pope, priest, a donkey, a cow, the sun, the moon, the planets, the constellations, if your faith is placed in anybody but the shed blood of Jesus Christ, it's worthless. Dynamic faith is faith that is alive. Watch this now. Hear me now. Because it is placed in someone that is alive. It's the only kind that produces works. Somebody say amen. What's the big deal, Pastor? I'm going to tell you why. You can come to church 3 times a week. Matter of fact, let's count Sunday school. Let's call it 4. Revivals, missions conferences, prayer meeting, blitz. What else? You go to prison, homeless ministry, girls club, teen activities. What else we got going on around here? Bus ministry? Anything else? What you got? Addictions ministry. Here's our addict in the church. No, I'm just kidding. Addictions ministry. You can come to all of them and not be growing. Don't say amen. You might be admitting it. You can come to all of them and not be growing. I tell you why. Because unless you bring to all of them dynamic faith, you will leave no different than how you came. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. You know I love this verse. I love talking about it. Because it's a dynamic verse that jumps off the page in the Bible. Written to Jews. Hear me now. Jews who would not change unless they were possessors of dynamic faith. Because they had once been avid religious zealots of Judaism, which was based on laws and rituals. And the writer of Hebrews said, listen to me, if you've accepted Christ, you found out that you can't trust shadows, you got to trust the substance. You can't trust rituals, you got to trust the reality. You can't trust the good, you got to trust the best. You can't trust temporary, you got to trust permanent. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. First word. For unto us was the word preached as well as unto them. So we got two groups, right? First group, second group. What was preached to us? What was preached to them? What was preached to us? What was preached to them? Two groups, same message. You agree with me? Say amen. Now finish the verse. But, what's that? But the word preached did not profit who? Wait. It did profit, but it didn't profit. And there wasn't something wrong with what was preached, because if there was something wrong with what was preached, there's no way what was preached could profit us. But somehow, something that helped us didn't help them. Because us took what we heard and mixed it with faith. And them didn't. You can sit across those Baptist church three times a week and never grow. But if the Bible's preached here, you can forget blaming anybody else but yourself. Now the pastor has to mend the saints. Come on now. For the perfecting of the saints. Ephesians chapter 4. Same Greek word that the disciples were doing as they mended their nets. Same word. You ought to come into this church having been broken and battered by the world and listen to a man of God who will take your broken and battered soul that has had that done to it by the world and mend your brokenness with the truth of the word. But I can give you good stuff every Sunday and Wednesday. But if you don't mix it with faith, it won't help you. You kids can grow up in the best home and turn out a reprobate. By the way, you act. Can't lose your salvation if you're ever saved. But you can sure make people think you did. Why? Because you didn't mix it with faith. What kind of faith? Faith that says I intellectually, some of the biggest quoters of scripture are the biggest devils. Intellectual assent without internal agreement. So I can't just know it in my head. I can't just say it and be fearful. Oh, I fear God. I fear God. Listen, that'll get you a little ways down the road. Amen. But come on, scripture with scripture. What's the greatest commandment of all? Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength. The next greatest commandment, thou shalt fear thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. That's not what it says. Thou shalt what? Fear will get you down the road, but it won't keep you serving God. Fear will get you obeying your parents when they're looking at you. But love will get you obeying them when they're not. Come on. Fear will get you right with God after you hear a hard message because you're too scared not to go to the altar. But love will keep you living right when you hit that wicked job tomorrow morning. Come on now. Fear will get you in, but love is the greatest commandment of all. I shall love the Lord thy God. You can't love God if you're not saved. dynamic faith. It's alive. Beloved, I want to tell you, God wants the body of Christ to learn how to have real faith. Let me give you this thought and I'll close for the evening. The credible statement, the counterfeit substance, but the critical significance. Verse 12, wilt thou know? O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Strong verse. The word will in the Bible has two different Greek words. One is philo. The other is boulami. The word boulami in the Greek literally means deliberate determination. Grit and determination. I will put my will, my determination. You ever heard people say they won that game because they imposed their will? That means that quarterback or that running back just ran mad. People were going to tackle him, but he determined, no, you will not. I ran over you. That's boulami, determination. Philo is a different word. It's not determination and grit and will. Philo, the word will, when the Bible uses philo, is the word for emotional wish or desire. There's a difference. Impose your will. That means be determined about it. But I will something. That means I desire it. Now hear James's question. Wilt thou know, O vain man, which means O empty man, that faith without works is dead. He's not saying get some determination about your faith. He's saying, do you love God enough that there's an emotional craving and a desire in you that says, God, I don't want to just get this thing right in my head. I want to get it right in my heart. I don't just want to get this thing right in my talk. I want to get it right in my walk. Let me tell you something. You'd be far-fetched to find me somebody who's truly been born again by the Spirit of God with the Holy Ghost living inside of him with an emotional desire and a craving to live for God, who God won't come alongside, help him, empower him, and enable him to live for God. I'll say to you, we're good sometimes on determination, but sorry sometimes on desire. Tell you what America needs, some bona fide, signified, shown up Christians that really want to live for God, for real. James said, you really want to know it? You really want to experience James 2? Or you just want to be a Bible thumper? You want to come to church so you can say you were there? Or you want to come to church because emotionally, from your heartstrings, you desire to be a mature Christian who walks what he talks. This challenges me. Don't you want the Bible to challenge you? There's too much toting Christianity. You remember Crossroads Baptist Church. Now I'm trying to shepherd you now. How many of you live in Fairfax County? Would you raise your hand? Fairfax County. Arlington County. Anybody live in Arlington County? Good. Someone? The city of Alexandria? City of Alexandria. Anybody? Okay. A couple of you. Okay. Prince William. All right. Represent. Prince George's. All right. The District of Columbia. Represent. Did I leave anybody's county out? Falls Church, that's Fairfax County. Falls Church City. Montgomery County, anybody? Here we go. Felton, you were getting a little salty with me, weren't you? You wanted me to call it out. Steve, how long it takes you to get home from here? 45 minutes without traffic. Anita, how long take you to get home? 2 minutes. 2 minutes. And there's hardly ever traffic. Now, let me tell you something. 2 minutes down the road from here and 45 minutes down the road from here, the world needs to see walking and talking Christians. Listen, we don't have a chance at turning this world around unless we can get seeds of authenticity planted in every county and every city in Northern Virginia. You think my preaching is going to save Northern Virginia? We can't even get everybody under the sound of it. It can't save you in here. How's it going to save lost folk? But good night. There are people that will never get to this church. They're not driving 45 minutes. They're not committed to Crossroads like you are. But they're reading you. And some of them 2 minutes away ain't coming. But they're reading you. And in the District of Columbia, there's a church on every corner, isn't there, Brother Ricky? Isn't there, Brother Logan? But very few that preach the truth. Well, if we could get some proselytes that would land in the district and have some walking, talking faith and travel on to PG County where God knows they need the truth. Come on now. And down in Woodbridge where the gangs are growing. Come on. I said where the gangs are growing. Some people are calling it Hood Bridge. What do they need? Social development? Gentrification? No, they need some Jesus. You got them in you. You live in Woodbridge. You know when I go to Woodbridge? On my way to North Carolina. Most of the time. But you go every day. I'm asking you, in your county, does your walk match your talk? Down the road. Well, Pastor, I sure would love to get my co-workers up here in the Crossroads so they could hear the truth. Just make sure before you bring them here that nothing I say here is going to contradict how you live there. Otherwise, they'd be better not to come because they're going to be more confused leaving church than they ever were not coming. Because too many Christians have a talk that doesn't match their walk. This is what I want to teach. I got some young men all over this country. I got a couple I'm working on hard. Man, hard. Like sons. Just trying to teach them the truth about Christianity. That they've been so disillusioned. They've been so turned off by hypocrisy. That they don't have much left in them to embrace the truth. Because too many people that said it didn't show it. And now I've got to chisel down walls for people to listen to this book because people that carry it wouldn't let it carry them. I don't want to be a stumbling block. Listen to me. You better learn that your little rap music or your little illicit lifestyle or your little floozy dress or little it's my life and I can do whatever I do when I'm not here. Let me tell you something. You're going to cause somebody lost to trip. And we spend all this time talking about how wicked lost people are and not enough time talking about how many Christians have been stumbling blocks. Well, I'm not called to be a missionary. You haven't read your Bible. If you're saved, you're called to be a missionary. You just may not do it, go to deputation and leave your country. But you're a missionary. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That wasn't called to those at BIMI. That was called to those who had been saved. We got a job to do. Good night. You got a shirt on, young man, don't you? What does your shirt say? One Life. It's a fitness place, right? Moses' co-worker. I guarantee you, if he was cussing 5 days a week, you wouldn't be here tonight. Ain't no co-worker going to follow you to church if you live like the devil. They're watching. You're going to get a chance, maybe, to get them here if you can live Jesus there. The impact of Crossroads Baptist Church extends far beyond the limitations of a service. It goes wherever you go. And the impact is positive or negative. And there's one determining factor. Whether your talk matches your walk. Our Father, help us. We're going to restaurants. We do so much majoring on our public Christianity. And we forget we are living examples of Christ. Respectfully, we're walking Bibles. In the gym. In the school. In the restaurant. We drive down the road and people see us doing something that's not Christian. We have an impact. At our family reunion, the dentist's office, the doctor's office, the mechanics, on the airplane, sitting at the cubicle, and everywhere we go, they're watching. Oh God, I hear James asking us tonight, wilt thou know that faith without works is dead? Do you really desire to know it by experience? Because if not, you'll never live it. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.